Critics say he looks good in a cowboy hat.
Yeehaw!
The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
All right, welcome back to the program. This is Canada's most irreverent talk show, and I've been looking forward to this segment all week. It is the third of three debates that we'll be having of the provincial candidates in the upcoming June 12th election. Today we're showcasing the riding of London Fanshawe, and joining me we have, in an order that was drawn just before the debate, from the Freedom Party of Ontario, Paul McKeever, from the New Democratic Party, Theresa Armstrong, from the Liberal Party, Marcel Marcellin, and from the PC Party, Chris Robson. So thank you all candidates for coming. Just for those of you who have not heard these debates before, every candidate will be given a 90-second opportunity for a closing statement, and at the end, a 90-second opportunity for closing as well. That is the sound that you will hear when your time is out. Every candidate for the questions during the debate will have 60 seconds to respond, as well as 30 seconds for rebuttals afterwards as well. And if a candidate is challenged on their facts in any way or is personally attacked, they'll get an additional 30 seconds after the rebuttal period in which they can respond to those accusations, whatever they may be. Now, the questions have not been shared with any of the candidates nor campaigns before this, but starting with the opening statements, we go to Paul McKeever.
A recent poll found that 72% of Ontarians want a party other than the Liberals to govern the province. But who? Andrea Horvath's NDP are copycatting virtually everything in the discredited Liberal 2014 budget. Like the NDP and the Liberals, Tim Hudak's PCs are refusing to pull the plug on already existing, overpriced green energy deals, even though the Ontario Court of Appeal said in November of 2013 that the government can charge or change or cancel these deals without paying a penalty or being sued. Tim Hudak's PCs want to stick the taxpayer with a bill for $10 million in severance packages for the 100,000 Ontarians he promises to fire. He promises to make Londoners pay for a $29 billion expansion of Toronto subways and public transit. And the PCs want taxpayers to buy $78 billion worth of nuclear reactors. And at the same time, Mr. Hudak's PCs want you to believe that they have an election platform to balance the budget. Yet the PC election platform states, quote, "The details of how we will balance the budget are laid out in detail in a separate document," unquote. But there is no separate PC budget document. And if there is, he isn't willing to show it to the voters. Why not? Haven't we had enough secrecy and deception? There's a better option. Freedom Party. A freedom government will restore trust in government by balancing the budget this year and every year without massive job cuts. We'll pull the plug on already existing, overpriced green energy deals without a penalty. And together, we'll make Ontario right again for everyone.
Thank you, Paul McKeever. Theresa Armstrong.
Good afternoon. My name is Theresa Armstrong. I'm the NDP candidate for London Fanshawe, and I'm an incumbent running again this election. And I've been very honored to represent the people of London Fanshawe, to bring their concerns to the government and be their voice at Queen's Park. And what I've been hearing from people for the last 2.5 years is they want governments that are accountable. They want governments that make sense and bring policies that make their life better. And the NDP has worked really hard during that minority government to actually deliver on those. And we continue to make sense on jobs, healthcare, and affordability. London Fanshawe, one of the topics that I hear over again is job creation. And New Democrats have a job creation that makes sense and that will deliver results. I hope to continue to be your representative in London Fanshawe. And also people are saying they don't want caddy politics. They want to know what our plan is and how their lives are going to be affected. And I'm prepared to continue to represent them in the best way possible and bring their voice to Queen's Park. Thank you.
Thank you, Theresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcellin.
Thank you. My name is Marcel Marcellin, and I'm the Ontario Liberal candidate running for London Fanshawe, member of Provincial Parliament. And I'm doing that because I know I can make a difference in the lives of my constituents. My previous role as a diversity officer for the London Police Service is not unlike the role that I've taken on with this endeavor. I want to continue working as a community advocate. Regardless of what party Ontario chooses, my experience working in this community has taught me that working collaboratively is the best way forward. That's what I'd like to do as London Fanshawe's member of Provincial Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcel Marcellin. Chris Robson.
Hi, I'm Chris Robson, the PC candidate in London Fanshawe. I've been a veterinarian in the London area for over 30 years, the father of two kids. I grew up on a farm and I learned the value of hard work. I'm not a politician, but I got into this race because the Liberals have wasted billions of our tax dollars with scandal after scandal. And the NDP have voted with them 97% of the time through it all. That's the question I'm hoping to get an answer from Theresa today. Theresa, why did you vote 97% of the time with the Liberals while they were wasting billions of our dollars? Were you told to do it, or did you do it on your own? I'm here to fight for the workers and families of London Fanshawe and bring good jobs here. I think we do that by ensuring hydro rates are affordable, by getting the finances under control, and keeping taxes low. We know the Liberal plan is hurting Ontario, and the NDP have been supporting them 97% of the time. I'm here to put an end to that in London Fanshawe. I'm asking for your vote.
Thank you, Chris Robson. That was the opening statement round. We'll now go to the first question, and then all candidates will have the opportunity to get in into the debate and respond to each other if required. The first question is about labor. Ontario's minimum wage will be rising on Sunday to $11 an hour, and I've personally spoken to two small business owners in London who say that this increase will actually result in them having to fire employees or cut hours or both. So do you think that minimum wage increases help workers if it results in job losses or the cutting of hours in small businesses? First response is Teresa Armstrong.
Well, we do have a small business plan that we want to implement, and we agree that the minimum wage is far below the way people can survive. It's a poverty wage when you're working full-time, and something needs to be done. Increasing the minimum wage does make sense. We've heard from time and time again that people are looking for some affordability and relief from their minimum wage jobs. But we're not just saying that's the one thing that NDP has made sense with regards to increasing minimum wage. We're not just saying increase the minimum wage and, you know, strain small businesses. We're saying that we need to increase minimum wage, but at the same time lower the small business tax, and we would do that by 0.5% and reduce it by 1.5%. So that way, it's a balanced approach. Small businesses are the heart of our communities, and we want to make sure that they're there to survive.
Thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
Well, we don't want anybody in our community living below the poverty line, and that's why the minimum wage increase is something that we promoted, and we're quite proud of that. We don't want to do that and then cause other problems, economic problems and problems for small businesses. But I think we have to think about people first. And investing in people is always going to be the right thing to do in terms of inspiring economic growth. So we're quite proud of the fact that we've raised minimum wage.
Okay, thank you, Marcel Marcelin. Now Chris Robson.
Yeah, I think when you increase the minimum wage, it actually increases inflation. The cost of a coffee or a sandwich in a restaurant goes up. So those people are really no better ahead. Personally, this is not our party platform, but it's my own personal belief. I would work with our federal cousins and increase the level so these people are not taxed as heavily, so they actually get to keep more of their money. That's the way to do it, because you get into fruit and vegetable producers, and it costs them. I talked to an apple farmer, it's going to cost him $40,000 or $50,000 more because the minimum wage went up. The way to do it is to let these people keep more of their money.
Thank you, Chris Robson. Paul McKeever.
Yes, I think we do have to think about people first, but we don't just think about people who have minimum wage jobs. We think of all of the people who don't have jobs at all. And when you raise those minimum wages, you ensure that those people won't find jobs. In fact, they'll be joined on the unemployment lines by some of the people who used to be employed before the minimum wage was increased. It's a job killer. And in fact, the Liberals knew it before they started raising the minimum wage. They knew that, in fact, tens of thousands of jobs would be lost, and they did it anyway. That's not pro-people. That's pro-government. If anything, it just reduces the number of people who are employed. As for taxes, as the PCs are suggesting, most of these people don't make enough money to actually have to pay much in the way of income taxes. So reducing their income taxes is not going to have much, if any, effect at all.
All right. Thank you, Paul McKeever. Every candidate will get a 30-second rebuttal, and we started with Teresa Armstrong on the initial answer, so we'll now start with Marcel Marcelin.
Well, as I said before, I mean, investing in people is the best way, I think, to inspire economic growth, and paying people more, making sure that people are being paid fairly for the work that they do. I don't know how you could argue with that.
Okay. Thank you, Marcel. And Chris Robson.
I've gone around to the coffee shop and talked to a few girls behind the counter, and I mentioned that, you know, some people wanted your minimum wage raised to $14 an hour. And the response right across the board was, wow, I'd quit school to do that. We don't want people quitting school for a minimum wage job. We want them to get educated and get a better job.
Okay. Thank you, Chris Robson. Paul McKeever.
Well, I think I said my piece. I think that makes the point, too. People don't want people to quit their schooling and join the workforce, but not the least of the reasons would be there'd be more people competing for the same number of jobs. Raise the minimum wage, lower the number of people who are actually working. That's not a good formula for anybody.
Thank you, Paul McKeever. And last word on this to Teresa Armstrong.
People can't survive on the current minimum wage. That's a fact. And we need to actually find some relief for them. And this is a way to help those people. And again, it's certainly not the full answer, but it's a measure that's moving forward. But also keeping in mind about small business, making it affordable where we can minimize or reduce their taxes by 0.5% as the minimum wage increases incrementally.
All right. Thank you for that, Teresa Armstrong. We will move on to our next question right after this break here on The Andrew Lawton Show, London Fanshawe Candidates Debate on AM 980.
This is Canada's most irreverent talk show. He'll explain what irreverent means to me later after his show is done. The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
All right, welcome back to the program. We are chatting with the candidates of London Fanshawe on the third Andrew Lawton Show debate, really ahead of the upcoming provincial election. The second question is one about education. Now, Regulation 274 presently forces principals to hire teachers based on seniority rather than merit. Now, if elected, will you support the continuation of Regulation 274? The last round was started with Marcel Marcelin, so we'll start off this round with Chris Robson.
No, we do not support Regulation 244. We'd like principals to be able to hire who they think is best qualified for the job, and not with the most seniority.
Okay, short and sweet. Thank you, Chris Robson, Paul McKeever.
I think we certainly have to make sure that we're hiring the best teachers. I'm not sure that there's necessarily that drastic a difference among them, though, to assume that there's these horrible teachers out there that we can't hire because they've got a lot of seniority, I think is the wrong approach. So I think I'd also want to be paying attention to the terms set out in collective agreements to make sure that we're not violating the spirit of those.
All right. Thank you, Paul McKeever. Teresa Armstrong.
I respect collective agreements, and I think that both parties in good faith can negotiate their intentions at the time their contracts come due, and I think we leave it up to the Board of Education in order to determine how that would play out. But saying that, I really think we need to do better in the education system with regard to supports for our special needs students, because we know that they're one in the classroom that are seeking supports, and we need to make sure that they have those things available for them.
Okay, thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
I also support hiring the best teachers within the parameters of their contractual agreement. But I also think that you need to consider the local needs as well. So when principals are making their decisions on who to hire, they need to look at what are the issues locally that need to be addressed and make their decisions on hiring based on that.
Okay, thank you, Marcel Marcelin. Now, candidates do have the opportunity for an additional 30 seconds should they choose to take it. We'll start this round with Paul McKeever, who's shaking his head. Are we all in consensus to move on, or does
Let's
any...
move on.
Okay. Seeing no objection, we can move on to the next question here. And that is one about public sector salaries. Now, since 2008, the Sunshine List, which is the list of public sector employees making more than $100,000 per year, has risen from 53,774 names to just shy of 98,000. The increase from last year alone was about 11%. So what does your party or you personally think about these increasing public sector wages? And if elected, what will you do to address that? We'll start this round with Paul McKeever.
Well, I think the main thing we have to make sure that we do is not take away what a person is already earning. That's not the right approach. We have an aging population. A lot of the people who currently work for the public service are going to be retiring in the very near future. And I think what our attention should be put to is new hires and what they're paid. So rather than cutting people's wages, I think what we need to do is make sure that the wages paid to new hires are more closely matched with those in the private sector.
Thank you, Paul McKeever. Teresa Armstrong.
Yes, the public sector jobs that we have, those are valued people who do good work for everyone who wants services from the government. And everyday working people are tightening their belts in the hard times that Ontario's facing. New Democrats have said that, we need to look at CEO public sector salaries and cap those twice the premier's salary. If we're all going to contribute to hard times of Ontario, we also believe CEOs should be part of that equation.
Okay, thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
This is a situation where I believe that people should be paid for a good day's work, and at the same time, we have to be fiscally responsible, and we're in hard economic times, and so everybody has to be willing to sacrifice. And so I think prudent government would look at some of these areas and make sure that that we're making the right decisions in terms of these salaries, and should we be putting a cap on them or not. So I think it's just a matter of being responsible, and I think if you give Ontarians a decision in this, they would side believe that we should be responsible in terms of how we compensate our CEOs.
Okay, thank you for that, Marcel Marcelin. Chris Robson.
Yeah, the Sunshine List has grown by about 224% in the last 6 years. Kathleen Wynn says $100,000 isn't much anymore. I'd like her to come into London Fanshawe and tell the families in London Fanshawe that $100,000 salary isn't much. We as the Conservatives brought in a motion to freeze public sector wages across the board for 2 years to save $2 billion a year, and it was voted down by the Liberals and the NDP.
All right, thank you, Chris Robson. Now every candidate gets an additional 30 seconds on this round. We'll start with Teresa Armstrong.
If I could just respond to the fact that he said we voted, the Conservative Party voted against capping CEO salaries at twice the Premier's salary. CEOs make quite a bit more money than most people in a month. And if we're all going to contribute as working people to the hard times that Ontario is facing, CEOs should be also contributing to that. And your party, the PCs, voted that down.
All right, thank you. And you will get an opportunity to respond to that, Chris, but we are going to keep the rotation at the time. Marcel Marcelin.
I just want to say that we're all accountable, right? So I think CEOs and all of us are accountable, and so I want to be accountable, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm running.
All right, thank you, Marcel Marcelin. Chris Robson.
Well, there's 43 hospital executives in the province, and if you knock their salary down to twice what the premier's salary is, you would save $9 million. That's not enough. We have to save billions.
Okay, thank you, Chris Robson. Paul McKeever.
This progressive conservative notion that if you freeze a wage, it somehow saves you money. It doesn't. It just means nothing changes. There's not an increase or a decrease. It's absolutely static. And when you're saying you're going to freeze wages, you're not really saving anybody money. You're actually agreeing that you're not going to lower wages. That's what a freeze does. It keeps it exactly the same. It doesn't say it won't go higher. It says it also won't go lower.
All right. Thank you, Paul McKeever. Now, we do have to take another break in about 2.5 minutes here, but we did this last week, and it seemed to be received well by the listeners. I'm going to ask every candidate in 30 seconds, what is this election about? We'll start with Marcel Marcelin.
This election is about jobs, and as I've been canvassing for the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing quite clearly that people don't want to see jobs leaving our community. They want to see jobs coming to our community. So what I want to do as a member of provincial parliament is to bring jobs to our community. And
no, you still have 10 seconds.
Okay, that's great. I want to bring jobs to our community, and I want to work through the partnerships that we've developed, the business partnerships that we've developed, to make sure that.
Thank you. That's the out of time sound. Chris Robson.
Well, with all the scandals, people are pretty apathetic to politicians in this day and age. And like I said, I'm not a politician. This election is about honesty, integrity, and trust. And I'm a prime candidate for that.
Okay, thank you for that, Chris Robson. Paul McKeever.
This election is about trust, but the reason it's about trust is that people are feeling betrayed, they're feeling helpless, and they're hearing more of the same from the PCs, the Liberals, and the NDP. Here we have Mr. Hudak out there with a 24-page million jobs plan that he says balances the budget, and the one line in it that matters says, well, the balanced budget plan is in a separate document that doesn't exist. You want to know why people don't trust politicians? That's why. They're not coming clean, and I think we need to give a voice to Freedom Party here.
Okay, and the final crack at the what is this election about question goes to Teresa Armstrong.
No, I think people believe in government, but we have to have accountability in government, and that's what I'm hearing. People want leadership that's going to be accountable. Jobs absolutely is one of the main things in London Fanshawe, and I have been fighting for job creation in Queen's Park, and I want to continue to do that and be a strong voice for that representation. And the NDP has a jobs plan that actually makes sense to bring jobs back to Ontario.
All right. Thank you for that, Teresa Armstrong. Now, just for those of you who are tuning in, we have the London Fanshawe Candidates Debate here on The Andrew Lawton Show. We're joined by Paul McKeever from the Freedom Party, Teresa Armstrong from the New Democratic Party, Marcel Marcelin from the Liberal Party, and Chris Robson from the PC Party. Let me know what you're thinking about the candidates and their comments. There are obviously people live tweeting throughout this at Andrew Lawton and at AM 980 News. So there's lots to discuss about this. When we come back, we're going to continue on our discussion about the priorities in this election campaign, and if they're obviously the candidates have platforms online, but to hear them able to talk about this with each other is obviously something that we've looked forward to, and a lot of people seem to be engaging on. We have to take a quick break here. More of the Andrew Lawton Show and this London Fanshawe debate in just a few moments on AM 980.
This is Canada's most irreverent talk show, The Andrew Lawton Show, on AM 980.
All right, welcome back to the program. This is the Andrew Lawton Show London Fanshawe Candidates Debate. We've had a very exciting first half hour. Now we're going to the second half of this debate and going right into the next question here. It's about energy. According to several reports, $1 billion was lost in selling excess hydro to other provinces in the last year, as well as to various regions in the United States. And this is in spite of hydro rates that are rising for Ontario consumers. Is this practice of selling off excess hydro a practice that will continue if your party is elected? And for this round, we start with Chris Robson.
Well, we want to bring an end to the Green Energy Act. It was a flawed policy right from the word go. The NDP supported the Liberals in 2009 when they brought that in. For every job you create in the green energy sector, you lose four or five in other sectors, and we're seeing that now with the high hydro rates, with all the manufacturing that's left this province. So we're going to bring an end to it, and we'd like to find a better price for our exports, but we can also find a better price for buying electricity from Quebec or Labrador hydroelectric, which is very green.
All right, thank you, Chris Robson. Paul McKeever.
Well, actually, I'm going to call Mr. Robson on that claim. The PC plan is not to repeal the Green Energy Act. In fact, Mr. Hudak has made it clear that he will not repeal the Green Energy Act. And in fact, the existing energy deals that we have that are costing us a fortune already, he has said, made it very clear just days ago, he will not pull the plug on those deals. Freedom Party is the only party in this election that's saying we can pull the plug. The Court of Appeal in November 2013 said we can. We've had recently a professor of law at Queen's University said, we can. It's time to pull the plug. It's not enough to say, as the PCs are, well, we'll just leave things the way they are and we'll stop things from progressing too far. It's not good enough. People are already hurting. Business is already hurting. We need to pull the plug. We can do so without a penalty, and that's the law.
All right. Thank you, Paul McKeever. Chris Robson will have an opportunity to respond after the round is completed, but Teresa Armstrong.
We know that hydro rates are becoming much, much more unaffordable, and the New Democrats have committed to taking the HST off of hydro in 2016. But that's not the only solution. You have to look at the whole hydro system, and that's where the making sense approach actually is going to work. There are four agencies that actually operate hydro. Those can be merged. CEOs' salaries need to be capped, and we need to look at how we're trading our hydro on the stock market. We're selling it for more than we produce it, and we're buying it back for more than we sell it. That doesn't make sense. It needs to be looked at. As well as we need to look at the private hydro contract deals and find out what kind of situations are in there and what efficiencies can be found.
All right, thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
Well, the green energy strategy has attracted $24 billion in private sector investment, and it created over 31,000 jobs. So, you know, Premier Wynne has put us on a track moving forward where we're going to listen to our stakeholders. We're going to continue investing in clean power, like wind and solar, and believe that saves money in healthcare and environmental costs. We're also lowering the hydro rates by removing the debt retirement charge. And these are just some of the things that we've done to improve energy consumption and keep costs down, and we'll continue to do that.
All right, thank you for that, Marcel Marcelin. Now, Chris Robson, you were called on something, so if you'd like, you can take 30 seconds to respond to that before we continue with rebuttals.
I think Mr. McKeever is being a little oversimplistic with regards to ending all these contracts and tearing them up. First of all, it'll be tied up in litigation, probably long enough for these contracts to wear out anyway. But when my party forms government, I'll keep you in mind to hire you as a lawyer, Paul.
All right. Now, we do continue with 30-second rebuttals on this question, and as it turns out, Paul McKeever does have the first response.
This is the thing. I think candidates need to take the law more seriously. The law is not what Mr. Hodgson just said. The law is that the contracts that exist already can be pulled without penalty. That's the law. As for wind, it has been the cause of the exports of energy to the United States. When the wind blows, the energy becomes too overwhelming to the system, and we are forced to sell, not even to sell, but rather to pay for Americans to take our electricity. The wind power needs to stop.
All right. Thank you, Paul McKeever. Teresa Armstrong.
Well, as I mentioned before, I think green energy does have a role to play in our energy system overall in Ontario. We have to do things better. But as far as the way hydro rates have been increasing is a problem, and we're looking at it as a holistic approach to the hydro program. And like I had mentioned before, there are four bureaucracies that don't need to be in existence. They need to be merged down. We can cap CEO salaries. We need to look how we're trading our hydro rates on the stock market.
Thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
You know, we've modernized the electricity system that needed to be fixed, and now we have a system that's more reliable. And we just need to continue to work towards looking for sustainable solutions to our energy issues, and that's what we're going to continue doing.
All right. Thank you, Marcel. Marcelin, Chris Robson.
I'd like to ask Teresa Armstrong why their party supported the Green Energy Act in the first place, and why they have supported this scandalous, incompetent government 97% of the time.
All right, Teresa Armstrong, you were named, so you do have a 30-second response.
30 seconds is enough to respond to that, but I'll try. When it's a minority government, you have a responsibility to your constituents to actually make things work and get things done, and that's what we did. Sitting on the sidelines and swinging from the chandeliers, calling for elections, is not what people asked for. They gave you a mandate to work within a minority government, and that's what the NDP did, and we got results. And now that we are in an election, we are going to make sense and actually do things better for people, not just slash and burn and abolish things. We're going to actually improve things and make things work.
Okay, thank you. And on that note, we have to take a quick break here, but the London Fanshawe Candidates Debate on AM 980 continues very shortly. Stay with us. All right, this is the London Fanshawe Candidates Debate here on The Andrew Lawton Show, and I think it's a question that has come up in numerous answers, even on unrelated topics, or at least not immediately related topics, and that is jobs, which is the subject for the next question. London's unemployment rate is 8%, which is slightly higher than the provincial rate of 7.4% in the same period. In recent years, London has been hit with major job losses. What will your party do about the job situation in the province and in the city? And Teresa Armstrong gets the first response.
Thank you. We do have a jobs creation plan. And right now, corporations get tax credits, and there's absolutely no strings attached. It's a blank check. We propose that you only reward job creators. So if a business, a corporation creates jobs, you give them a tax credit. If they purchase equipment to train their workers, you give them a tax credit. If they expand their business and build on, you give them a tax credit. You're actually rewarding job creation and people, businesses who actually are investing in Ontario. And those are going to be good-paying jobs with benefits, and that's how we believe we're going to grow the economy. Also, we believe that a buying Ontario policy is something that should be looked at. We need to have our products in the things that we ship out, as well as resources. If we have companies coming to our province, there should be value-added jobs to those companies that want to mine our resources, like processing jobs.
Okay, thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
Well, investing in jobs, in skills training, transit projects, and investing in infrastructure are all ways to build our economy. And we're looking at doing things like improving hospitals and schools and roads. All of that is part of the economic strategy. And the fact is that since 2009, we've created over 477,000 new jobs. And last year's employment increased over 95,000 jobs. And this exceeds the 52,000 jobs that were gained in 2012. So we believe that what we're doing is on the right track for economic recovery, and it's part of our strategy.
Okay, thank you, Marcel Marcelin. Chris Robson.
Absolutely nothing that the NDP and Liberals are suggesting is ever going to turn around jobs in this province. When a company like Magna, the largest car parts manufacturer in the world, who had their infancy here in Ontario, says they'll never open another car plant here, what do you think Ford and GM are thinking? It's up to the government, and the PC government is the only one that's going to do it, to create the environment to foster jobs by lowering taxes, lowering hydro rates, bringing in more skilled trades, reducing red tape. There's too many hoops to jump through to get it, to open a business in Ontario, and also to create more interprovincial trade.
Okay, thank you, Chris Robson. Paul McKeever.
Well, actually, the Progressive Conservatives have made it clear that they will not promise lowering hydro rates. I don't know where Mr. Hodgson gets that idea. His own leader has said rates will not be lowered. They simply will not be increased as much or as quickly. As for restoring jobs in London, the Ontario industry was founded upon inexpensive electricity. Green energy, the whole green energy experiment by the Liberals, is resulting in 40 cent per kilowatt hour solar and etc. To reverse that process, we have to pull the plug on the already existing Liberal green energy deals without a penalty, which now can be done thanks to the Court of Appeal. The other thing we need to do is balance the budget so that business has confidence in the Ontario government and realize that we're willing to do the house cleaning that needs to be done before they have to face the risk of perhaps a bailout founded on higher taxes and that kind of thing. They're not going to come here if they think that we're going to balance the budget by interfering with their profits. So that's the two-step plan for Freedom Party: balance the budget, pull the plug on existing green energy deals.
Okay, thank you, Paul McKeever. We will now allow candidates to the opportunity to rebut that, and in this round we start with Marcel Marcelin.
Well, I want to actively promote London as a place that welcomes new business investments, and we want to make sure that we have good industrial and manufacturing jobs, and that's part of our job strategy. And, although some conservatives refer to this as subsidizing business, I really believe that this is investing in business. And making Ontario an attractive place to do business is part of our strategy, and I believe that's important.
Okay, thank you, Marcel Marcelin. Chris Robson.
The NDP tax plan is flawed. They want to decrease the small tax to 4%, but increase the large business tax to 12%. So when great companies like Trojan Technology or RIM, companies like that, that are the backbone of business in Ontario, when they grow, their tax rate's going to triple. That's not realistic.
Okay, thank you, Chris Robson. Paul McKeever.
First of all, apology to Chris. I was calling you Hodgson. I thought it was Robson. Sorry, that was my gaffe. I would just repeat. The key here is we need to pull the plug on those already existing green energy deals. They're costing us a fortune. They're costing us jobs. They're costing us industry. I'm an employment lawyer by trade, have been for 18 years. The jobs are going to China and India. Why? Low-cost electricity, a low-tax environment. That's to restore that low tax environment, you need to balance that budget, which is what we're going to do and have been proposing in every year for the last 3 years.
Okay, just under the wire on that. And now we go to Theresa Armstrong.
Definitely this is about creating jobs, and that's what the question is about. What is your party going to do to create jobs? And New Democrats, we are going to reward job creators. That's going to actually spur the economy right now. Giving corporations blank checks isn't good business sense, but when a corporation creates a job, invests in machinery, or trains their workers and expands their business, that's when you give them a tax credit because they're investing in Ontario.
All right, thank you. We have to take one final break before we will, I believe we'll have time for one more question, and then we will hear the candidates' closing statements. But more of the Andrew Lawton Show, London Fanshawe Candidates Debate, coming up on AM 980.
Kicking ass and taking names along the way. This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
All right, this is the final segment of the candidates' debate for London Fanshawe for the upcoming June 12th election here on the Andrew Lawton Show. And now we have time for one final question before we go to our closing statements in a few short moments. And this question is one. We've covered jobs, we've covered labor, we've covered a lot of different sectors here. And this one really is, I think, an encompassing subject, and that is the budget. Now, Ontario's debt is a little over $288 billion right now. The deficit in the last fiscal year was $11.3 billion. What will your party do to balance the budget and decrease the debt? And we'll start on this with Chris Robson.
Number one, the Liberal government has actually augmented government in the last few years. Kathleen Wynne likes lots of people around her, 40 committees. She's increased cabinet by five. We're going to decrease the size of cabinet. We're going to bring in a wage freeze. We're going to have 100,000 less government workers. Most of these are through attrition. No cuts to health care or police. And also competing out certain services and having a program review with regards to some of the giveaways that the government is doing. We just cannot keep going forward with a $12 or $11 billion deficit every year. It's not sustainable.
Okay, thank you. Chris Robson, Paul McKeever.
Party that can speak with any credibility on this issue. We're the only party that for the last 3 years has proposed to the legislature a balanced budget proposal. The PCs have a million jobs plan. That's all they've got in this election. And the line that's in that budget plan, the only line that really matters, is the one that says the details of how we will balance the budget are laid out in detail in a separate document. That document doesn't exist. I challenge Mr. Robson to tell me what the name of that document is, where we can find it, because frankly, the PCs have no balanced budget proposal. It's all talk, no walk. What I see is $78 billion in nuclear proposals, $29 billion of spending money on Toronto subway expansion, another $10 billion on severance packages for that 100,000 people you're going to put out of work. There's no credibility in the PC plan. It's all talk, no walk. Freedom Party's got a balanced budget plan, and you can actually read it with the numbers on our website, freedomparty.on.ca.
Okay, thank you. And obviously, Chris Robson will have an opportunity to respond to that shortly. Teresa Armstrong.
The province's 2014 and 2015 deficit is projected at about $12.5 billion and a $2.5 billion higher than the budget in 2013 estimate. Ontario's facing a deficit Ontario's a deficit has increased over the last 2 years. Ontario has lost 300,000 well-paying manufacturing jobs. Ontario's unemployment rate, unfortunately, is above the national average. And for the last 10 years, key sectors in the northern economy, such as forestry, have been declining. And Ontario still continues to lag in provinces like Manitoba and Quebec, who have had more innovative approaches to job creation and economic development. So we believe that having that jobs creation tax credit for rewarding employers for creating jobs and investing in Ontario is going to help spur the economy, as well as having a Buy Ontario policy. And when resources are being mined out of our province, we need to have good value processing jobs.
Thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
Well, the Liberal strategy includes having balanced investments in people and economic development. And, budget issues are complex, and they require intelligent solutions. And cutting programs and services and even cutting jobs isn't the right solution for Ontario. So I believe that the WIN budget provides us with a solid foundation going forward.
All right. Thank you, Marcel. Marcelin, now with rebuttals, Chris Robson, I'll give you the opportunity to respond to Paul McKeever's comments.
Well, there's always fear-mongering. I mean, I'm actually very proud of the 15 white papers my party has brought forward. These guys have done a lot of hard work. I'm a Johnny-come-lately, but I'm really proud of our program and our plan. Mr. McKeever is completely wrong. I don't think he's read anything all the way through, because there are no new taxes. No taxes. Freedom for transit in Toronto. No new taxes.
All right. Thank you. Just under the wire there as well. We have to move on to closing statements right now, but you will have 90 seconds. So in that time, you can close up any loose ends if you would like. The final round started with Chris Robson. So for closing statements, we start how we began with Paul McKeever.
That there's no new taxes proposed by the PCs, because they're not telling you how you're going to pay for the $78 billion here, the $29 billion there. They're just literally putting it on the credit card. Now, one of the four of us here sitting at the table has been your MPP for the last several years. Ask yourself if you know that person's name. And if you don't know that person's name, ask yourself, shouldn't I know that person's name? The answer is Ms. Armstrong has been your MPP, but I'll bet you didn't know that until today. And the reason is, I don't think she's done enough for this riding. This riding deserves someone who's knowledgeable on the issues. I hope I've impressed you today with the fact that I do know the issues. I've been studying them for long enough. I've been putting out these budgets for the last 3 years. I know the issues. I know where the other parties stand on the issues. I know what they don't have to offer, and I know what they do. Ms. Armstrong says that people don't want an election. It's her own party that triggered the election. Mr. Marcelin has made it clear. If a Liberal government gets in again, it's more of the same. They're going to stay on the exact same path that gave us the double-digit deficits and the swelling debt. And Mr. Robson's made it clear that he doesn't even know his own party stands on the various issues, which in fact means The PCs are not going to repeal the Green Energy Act. They're going to keep the high energy rates. They're not going to balance the budget because they have no balanced budget proposal. Freedom Party is offering you a chance to vote for Freedom Party's leader, Paul McKeever, on June 12th. Restore a balanced budget and affordable energy. Vote Paul McKeever.
Thank you, Paul McKeever. Teresa Armstrong.
Thank you. New Democrats have worked hard, and I especially have been very proud of the work that I've been doing and helping my constituents in London Fanshawe. I will continue to work hard and represent the people of London Fanshawe, and I hope that I will be reelected. But besides that, you know, this election is a very important election because people are disenchanted with politicians and the fact that 70 promises were made in a budget that people felt that this Liberal government couldn't live up to. And it has been scandal after scandal. We, as New Democrats, have said that jobs are extremely important in Ontario, and we have proposed a plan that actually makes sense. We talk about health care and decreasing emergency wait times with inputting two nurse practitioners in emergency rooms that will actually alleviate patients coming to see a doctor when they can see a nurse practitioner. We talk affordability, and we talk about taking HST off of hydro and looking at the whole hydro system to see how it actually can be sustainable to the future. There are many things that we talk about in our platform, and you can look at that on the Ontario NDP website. And please give me a call if you have any questions after this debate, once you've heard all the comments, at 519-451-0099. I'd be happy to take your questions and call you back. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Teresa Armstrong. Marcel Marcelin.
Everybody, including myself, wants a government that's responsible and accountable. And no party is perfect. We recognize that mistakes have been made in the past, and moving forward, we're committed to regaining the confidence of our community, and we have a solid plan to do that. I'd like to close by saying that I entered this race because I believe I have something to offer. Each of us here are representing different parties, and we all have a sincere belief in helping the people of Ontario. We just have different ideas on how to do it. If you want someone who has been working with the community in public service for the past 19 years, and someone who believes in investing in people is the right thing to do and is the right way to build a strong economy, then I would ask for your vote. That's what I plan to promote as MPP for London Fanshawe. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcel Marcelin. And Chris Robson.
It's time to fix the problems we're facing. We can't afford the debt and waste of the Liberals or have the NDP continuing to support them 97% of the time. I disagree with Teresa Armstrong's response. She's contradicted herself with regards to not wanting blank checks to corporations, yet she's supported the Liberals while they've given all these corporate welfare checks to, whether it's Cisco to $220 million, which works out to $130,000 a job, or $500,000 to Maple Leaf Sports for the All-Star Game next year, or $120 million to Open Text, a company that makes over $1 billion. I believe the number one issue in this election is honesty, integrity, and truth. And I believe the people in London Fanshawe deserve an answer. We need to make sure hydro rates are affordable, get our finances under control, and keep taxes low. I've knocked on a lot of doors, and people want change in London Fanshawe. They want change at Queen's Park. We can't keep voting the same and expect a different result. Vote for Chris Robson on June 12th.
Well, thank you for that, and I want to thank all candidates, Paul McKeever, Teresa Armstrong, Marcel Marcelin, and Chris Robson, for putting your names forward and for your time this afternoon. This is the Andrew Lawton Show, Candidates Debate for London Fanshawe on AM 980. We'll see you on Monday, London. Thank you, God bless, and good day.